The views and opinions expressed by guests on the TWBC podcast are solely those of the guest and do not necessarily reflect the views of nor constitute an endorsement by the host, TWBC, or the advertisers.
National championships, Confederation championships, World championships, major professional events. For over three decades, he has been there for many of the sport's greatest moments. And now he brings you even closer to the movers and shakers in the world of high echelon tournament water skiing. From the founder and creator of the Water Ski Broadcasting Company comes the TWBC Podcast. And now here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Well, greetings one and all, and welcome once again to this latest episode of the TWBC Podcast. My name is Tony Lightfoot, as aforementioned. And I have a special guest here with us today, a man who has been involved in the sport for not a particularly long time, not compared to many of you out there, but his impact within the sport, especially in terms of publication and in media, has actually become quite profound. His name is Gregory Adesmal. How are you doing?
I'm really good, Tony. Glad to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Good, good. Tell us a little bit about your background, how you got into the sport and how you got to where you are right now.
Well, as you might know, my wife, Amber Frank, is in the French team for almost 17 years, I guess. And she was the one bringing me around the lake so I could watch her. I used to do some small water ski, like younger. I knew how to get up on the ski and stuff like that, but I was not really close with competitive water ski, obviously, nor slalom course, like stuff like that. And being with Amber brought me into the water ski world. And I was with her when she was in Florida, at Florida Southern College, visiting her, getting around all the really best pros on the planet, I guess, that live around. And I just wanted to kick in and jump into this industry.
Excellent. Okay, so what is your professional background? How does that tie in a little bit to what you do with the publication that you have, which is, just remind us, the good folks?
Water Ski Journal.
Water Ski Journal, yes.
And obviously Water Ski Nation on Instagram. Well, my background is a mix of several stuff. I started with 2 years in a law university in Paris, France. Afterward, I joined a business school in Paris also. And I ended up graduated from a master in financial analysis and market, where I could go in California in UCSD in San Diego for a year.
Okay.
So that's basically it. At the end of my education, I had a master degree in finance and a business school graduate.
Okay. So when did you get the epiphany that the water ski world needed a new publication? You know, what kind of inspired you to say, hey, listen, you know, I'm going to put something together. I'm going to put it in print, you know. You know, I don't care what you say that the print media is on the decline. We need something in print. What kind of inspired you?
So I was a huge fan of the Water Ski Mag. Obviously, I was super sad when there was no more Water Ski Mag, and so Water Ski Journal started the summer, not this one, the previous one, so a year and a half ago, and I had that ton of content, like a lot of pictures I took myself and others that fantastic photographers share with me all the time. Not to mention Thierry Miranda, Unmi Thivier, guys like that. And I was like, dude, that's such a shame. We don't have a water ski mag anymore. So using my small, like, power I have over social media into water ski, I was okay, let's try to make a magazine out of what I can bring. So It started really with a digital format. I didn't want it to be printed at first because I wanted it to be free.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, everybody can read it no matter where you are. And the first edition was read digitally by over, if my memories are okay, 6,000 people. First issue. And I received a lot of messages from guys I didn't know. Hey, that would be where can I buy it? Where can I buy it? And I was like, no, it's free. just go over the link and it's free. You can read it. Oh yeah, but I wish I could have it in paper. And I was yeah, me too. But as I looked around how to make it happen, it looked so expensive to make. So at the end, I was like, okay, you are a few numbers to ask me to print it out. So it's going to be expensive because I don't know how to get it cheaper. But at the end, you have it.
Yeah, because there's always that balance that you have to strike whenever you're trying to print something. You know, it obviously the cost to print something have risen steadily over the years. And the way that a lot of publications have to balance that out is by having more advertisers. But then when you start throwing more advertisers into the magazine, there's less content, you know, so... I guessing you've been rather keen to strike that balance. Do you feel you've done so successfully?
At the end, I don't lose too much money. So that was my target.
Okay, so typically whenever you set out to go on a blank slate with the latest edition of Waterski Journal, I mean, typically, what is your game plan? What is your mission whenever you say, okay, I'm going to select him to go on the front cover, I'm going to select her to go on the back cover. What goes on in between planning-wise?
So, as you know, it only issues once every 3 months.
Okay.
So, obviously, every number...
So, it's a quarterly.
Yeah, it's a quarterly. So, obviously, I'm focusing on what happened on the pro scene over the past 3 months, previous the issue. So, to choose... who's going to be on the cover, that's a tricky one. For the first ones, I just took the pictures I really loved. I think the number two, Todd Ristorcelli, the guy who was behind Waterski Mag, was kind enough to give me a picture of Jimmy Beauchesne. He took years ago. Because inside the article, Freddie Winter wrote an article about Jimmy Beauchesne. So I choose this one this way. And if I have to talk about the last issue, it's Joel Poland on the cover page. He won my trick contest, Waterski Nation trick contest on Instagram. And that was the first prize.
During the height of the pandemic, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. And so the winner of this contest got to be on the front page plus some rewards, edge binding for Joel. And that's how I chose him. I don't know yet who will be on the next one. Probably some.
You're trying to keep that a surprise. Maybe, yeah. Maybe a secret. You know, maybe one of the world champions that will be crowned here in a few days' time.
Maybe
we're recording this a few days before the start of the World Championships in October. But one thing I wanted to ask you is in regards to the pandemic and how that's kind of affected things where you are in France and across Europe. I mean, you have a fairly good eye on what's going on. You're fairly close to the pulse of what's going on with tournament water skiing. So how do you feel that Europe as a whole, and probably France especially, has weathered it through the pandemic?
I'm not sure I understood the question.
They've done okay with the pandemic? Do you think water skiing is in a good state right now where it is?
So I think water ski is it is in a good state right now. I think it keeps rising again. I think we had a really good momentum right before the pandemic with all the beautiful tournaments happening in America and also in Europe. With the commitment of a few like Matteo Luzzeri in Italy and some others across the whole Europe. Unfortunately, COVID-19 stopped Europe Pro events for 2 years. We had San Gervasio Pro Am again this year, thankfully. And US is really different. We had a season in US last year. We have a tremendous one this year, despite the pandemic. So, yeah, to me, it goes in the right direction. It will keeps growing, I guess. And if Europe can recover as US did on the pro scene, pretty sure next year will be insane.
All right, then. Obviously, you're making a small reference to the Waterski Pro Tour, which you had a little bit of influence in trying to get off the ground. You know, you threw the idea to a few of interesting parties, and then finally this year, in the middle of the worst pandemic disaster in the middle of history, y'all decided to say, Why not let's do a brand new Waterski Pro Tour with new points, you know, and just something to really kickstart worldwide waterskiing again. Your take on that?
Yeah, the general idea was from beginning to promote as best as we can with the tool we have. That could be me with Instagram and Waterski Nation. That could be you and Vincent Stadelbord with TWBC. Anyone that have some kind of small influence into the sport, let's bring that together and push for more marketing communication that everybody can follow what is happening on the pro scene. That was the main purpose to me, and so far so good, I guess.
All right, then. So far as skiing is concerned, obviously there are pushes to try and increase exposure and everything like that, but what I mean, to counter that, there are a lot of frustrating things that occur within the sport of water skiing that, you know, that gets people absolutely pulling their hair out and like wondering, what can we do to fix this? Are there certain things in your mind that need to be kind of fixed for the sport in order for it to move forward in the best way that it should be?
Well, it depends what kind of frustration you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, from the official aspect, from running tournaments and that kind of stuff. There have been tournaments where the officials have had to discuss among themselves. They take up way too much time, you know, and everything, and things get stalled, you know.
Yeah, so. To be honest, that is not my job. I'm not qualified enough to be technical. I'm not qualified enough to tell officials what to do or not to do into their tournament. My only kind of skill is to talk about them the best I can so that everybody can know the tournament is happening, what is going on there, provide some content, pictures, video, make a recap of it, stuff like that. So I'm pretty much a layer on top of everything that is happening, but I'm certainly not inside what the decisions are made or not made. So I guess if there are frustrations somewhere, obviously we have to fix them. We have to talk about them and try to solve the problem. To me, we have to go into simplicity. I think water ski is a beautiful sport. Sometimes we are like, as you say, scratching our hair with small tiny details, which can be huge for when you are deep into the sport. But from a guy like me that doesn't know much technical and stuff, we don't care. We just want to see beautiful guys and girls skiing what they know, like how they know how to do, give their best and follow the action.
All right, then. I'll ask you one final question. It goes down to demographics because another toad water sport, and I'll say out loud, it's wakeboarding, tends to attract a younger demographic into their sport. You know, the coveted like 15 to 21 or like 21 to 35. You know, that demographic. You know, by comparison, water skiing tends to be done by athletes and by people of an older demographic. What do you believe the sport has to do in order to be more attractive to the younger set that advertisers and sponsors are covet, you know, in terms of pushing their products and services in association with events?
I guess we have to make it cool. I mean, young guys, they go. Why do they go to wakeboard? That the question we have to ask ourselves. It's because it's fun. You can be on the boat with 5-6 of your friend on an open lake and enjoy all the afternoon playing wakeboard. Do wakeboarding. We have to show them. You can. It's just like that at Waterski. You're nearby the lake, enjoying the time with your friend. Do your ski set. I know barely. I'm not sure. I know people that spent a day water skiing that didn't like it and didn't want to go back at it. So we just have to like show them how cool is the sport and how to reach them. Maybe social media stuff like that. That's how it works nowadays. So yeah, I think maybe show how cool water ski is, and if we go deep inside the financial aspects and stuff like that, obviously water ski is an expensive sport, so maybe try to find some ways so it's not that expensive for young people, but other than that, I don't have the answer yet.
Okay. All right, then. We'll end off the interview there. Thank you very much, Gregory, for participating in this podcast. But I always give an opportunity for you to give a shout out or to acknowledge friends, family, and or those that have actually helped bring you to the position that you are. So I'll leave the microphone for you to do that.
Well, the only one I can see right now is my wife, Amber Frank. Thank you, baby, for bringing me into your sport. I love it.
All right, then. This has been the latest episode of the WBC podcast. You've been listening to Gregory Desvaux, as well as me, Tony Lightfoot. And until next time, it is ciao for now.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.